Remember, on Friday I told you that God gave me three things which I have to share with you. One, that's the building of the altar. Now the second which I want to start it today, this night, is the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Ghost. Turn with me in Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. We shall read up to verse 23. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 23.
Numbers 9, 15 to 23. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely, the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tent, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tent and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tent. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
Lord, Father in heaven, give us the grace to understand your word. And allow me to speak to your heart, my God, and your people. God, as you are raising up a powerful generation, this nation, my God, Father, I'm so honored to have something to share to them, Lord, in this generation, Lord, which you are raising up, Lord. Therefore, allow me to speak to your heart and your mind and your people, and open up their hearts to understand. Let it open up their spiritual ears to hear what you want them to hear, my God. Have your way, Lord, and touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, I told you that when I was coming, the Lord told me that I should. That God is calling us to build up the altars. We have seen that. Personal altar, family altar, the city altar. In our life, the place of communication, the place of fellowship, the place of meeting God. So that we can have God all the time. Now, and he told me that I have also to talk about the Spirit of God. That most of people and most of the ministers, because of their system, because of their way of doing things, they have kicked the Holy Spirit out of their life and out of their ministry. Because they have set up their own system, their way of handling things, their way of doing things. They don't give an opportunity to the Spirit of God to lead them to do what he has to do, to do what God wants to do in their life. And now, because they have kicked him out of their ministry, out of their life, then they are doing their own thing. They are doing what they feel that is right for them. Now, that is killing the lives of people. He's clearing what God wants to do within those people. We do things according to what we see. We do things depending on what is surrounding us. Then we go even to the level of preaching what people they want. We don't preach what God wants. We preach what people they want. We try to see that we make people happy. And even God tells us, please don't hurt me. Don't scare me. Now because we don't want to scare them, because we don't want to hurt them, then we start looking for things which are good, which pleases them. We need to please them. We need to see that they are happy. We keep certain truth. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says that He will lead us in all truth. Now when it's out of our system, when it's out of our life, when it's out of the system of the church, then He will never lead us into all truth. Is that clear? Now, some people, they are bound because there's a certain truth which they don't know. They are in the church, but they are bound. They are Christians, but they are bound. Because somebody who can lead them into all truth, we have kicked him out of our church, out of our ministry, out of our life. Then people, they don't know truth. Is that clear? A man cannot set somebody free. The Spirit of God sets someone free. And the Spirit of God is there to lead us in all truth. Now you find that even you who are watching sometimes television, you find who are watching sometimes television, you can see most of the preachers. They teach about a lot of things. But it is very rare to find somebody teaching about the Spirit of God. It is very rare. We can teach through our mouth prosperity, miracles, and other things. But we don't teach who is the Spirit of God. That's why we say that even some people within the church, when you ask them who is the Holy Spirit, they will never tell you. They will say, the Holy Spirit is something which holds you and shakes you and puts you down. That's what people are saying. Because they have not given ourselves to be taught who is the Holy Spirit. Now they call Him something. I don't believe that something can talk. Something cannot talk. The Holy Spirit speaks. Something cannot lead someone. The Holy Spirit does. Something cannot convict you. The Holy Spirit does. If it happens that one day you go back in your home and your chairs and sofas and they start talking, what are you going to do? Can you sleep in those houses, in that house? When you sit on your chair, the priest, I'm fed up of you. Don't sit on me today. When you go on, the priest, I don't want you to use me today. All cups and everywhere, you have to call for this. Because you know that those things are not supposed to speak. They are not supposed to talk. Now, when you call the Spirit of God something, you have allowed Him on the level of just mere things. But I don't blame anybody when he calls you something because we have not given them chance to teach them who is the Spirit of God. We have not allowed the Spirit of God to manifest within our life. We have not allowed the Holy Spirit to lead our services, to lead our life. Then that's why most of people they are going astray. That's why there's no transformation within the lives of people. There's no hearing. Somebody comes in the church and he goes out the way he can. That's why the same people that are saying that a church is boring. Why is boring? Because somebody who can trust their life, he is not in our midst. We just see a man putting on a good suit, preaching, he cannot touch the lives of people. Somebody who can touch the lives of people, he's out. Then that's why you are saying that, church is boring. Recently, I was announcing here. I saw a signpost on a church that they are selling it. Then I asked the pastor, why that church is being sold? He told him, many people, they are not all coming to the church. Tell him, why are they not coming? Then he told me, I don't know. He told him that a lot of churches here are closed. A lot of churches here are sold. Imagine the church which was built, people to come and meet their God. Now you sell it and a Muslim come and buy it and turn it into mosque. I don't believe that it's God's will that church be closed. It's because you keep the one who has to sustain that church, to bring people into that church. You cut him out, he went with everything. When he goes with everything, then people they won't stay. Because they don't want just to hear you, they don't want to see you, they want to meet their God. They want somebody who can touch their life. They want somebody who can convict their life and change them. Now he is not into that building. They will never stay there. Then you have to put on a signpost. If somebody can come and buy it, come and buy it. We need to go back and start teaching people. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why do we need him? We need to allow him to flow within us. When we see in this book of Numbers, chapter 9, where we read it from verse 15, you hear some preachers judging and condemning these people. That is those people in the wilderness. After seeing all those miracles, they will turn against their God. We judge them when we are preaching. We condemn them. But on my side, I don't condemn them. And I just don't judge them because I don't have them the right of judging them. When you compare their generation and this generation is more stubborn than their generation. Why I'm saying that they're more stubborn? In their generation, this was the first church in the wilderness, which was led by Moses. In their generation, they had no Bible. They did not have anything to read. They didn't have the promises of God. They didn't have something to direct them. Because remember, their leader, that was Moses, is the one who wrote this, who wrote Genesis up to Deuteronomy. He was writing about them. Now, this generation, we have the Bible. Is that clear? We have the instructions of God. We have the minds of God. We have the will of God. We have the promises of God. We have somewhere where we can go and we read. But although we have somewhere where we can read, we disobey what we read. Now, how can you warn people who did not have even a Bible? They did not have even somewhere to read. And you are blaming them and you forgive yourself, the one who has got even a chance of having a book in your hand to tell you what God wants you to do. To guide you the way which you have to follow. Then when you compare their generation and our generation, let me tell you, their generation was better. Second thing, these were people who were led by the cloud. The cloud is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, they were led by the cloud, during the day, to lead them the way they should go. And the cloud of fire, pure fire at night, to give them light. Now these people were led by the cloud. In our generation, the Bible says, as we shall see, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. They were led by the cloud. The Holy Ghost was not sitting within them. In our generation, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sits within us. He leads us when he's within us. They were led by the cloud. Is that clear? They were led by the cloud. Now, when you compare these two generations, which is better than others? This one, which we are the all of us, the Spirit of God dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But although we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you find that we rebel against Him. We don't do what we don't allow Him to do what He wants to do. Now, how can you blame the other people who were led by the cloud? Who were submitted to the cloud? The third thing, these people during their days, God could not speak to each and everyone. He used to speak with one man, that's Moses. If they want to hear from God, they have to wait for Moses. God could call Moses, Mr. Moses, can you come on the mountain here so that I can talk with you? Then after talking with him, then Moses comes down and tells them what God has told them. That's the way which they use reason. All millions of the children of Israel, they have to wait for one man. If not, they have to go to the prophet, then they praise God, and after praising God, then the Spirit of God comes down, then he talks to them. God could not talk to each and everybody. But in our generation, the Spirit of God dwells within us. God can communicate to us. He can speak to all of us. But although we have that great opportunity which God gave us, that the His Spirit dwells within us, He can speak to us, we don't do what God wants to do. Then that generation, we shouldn't blame it. We need to focus on our generation. To find out, are we doing what we are supposed to do? Now, these people in the wilderness, the Bible says, that when they have raised up the tabernacle, the cloud came and sit on the tabernacle. And when he sat on the tabernacle, all the children of Israel, they could not move. They had to stay in one place until they wait for the move of the cloud. They could not move until they wait the cloud to move. In other words, until they wait the Spirit of God to move. Now, imagine, wilderness, I don't think that is the best place to stay. Do you think that was the best place to stay? Do you think that they were enjoying living in wilderness? They didn't. One day, let me ask God to give us grace and open up doors, and all of you come in Africa, then I'll tell you, I'll take you somewhere where is the wilderness, and you see if you can enjoy there. You know what are there? In the wilderness, we have a certain path when you are going to northern Uganda. 40 miles is wilderness. No water there. No people living there. You might find some animals there. You cannot stay there. Nobody enjoys to stay there.
Now this is the children of Israel. During that time, for 40 years, they were in the wilderness. That wasn't the best place for them to stay. No food, no water, you know, they cannot eat, you know, where they could want, but they were supposed to wait and wait to the move of the Holy Ghost. Do you think that they don't sometimes also asking themselves, why are we here? Why should we wait for 2 days, for 1 month? Can't we move? I think also they used to ask themselves. But they had, although they could ask themselves, that they had to obey and wait upon the Spirit of God to move. Now think about it. People to stay in one place for 2 days, either a week in one place, either a month, or a full year. To tell people in this generation, then let us stay in one place for 1 week, they could stone you. Just for 1 week. Then no, let us all of us come here into the presence of God and listen upon God for 1 week. You will never see them. But this for living in the wilderness for a year, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Can you read that? Can you read again? We are in Numbers chapter 9. We are reading verse 18. Up to 10.
At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed.
According to the command of the Lord, they journeyed. When the cloud could tarry on the tabernacle for a few days, they have to stay there. 2 days, they have to stay there. 1 week, they have to stay there. A year, they have to stay there. Because they have to obey. They had to wait for the move of the Spirit of God. Because they didn't know the way to go. They didn't know where to go. How they can reach where they are going. They had to submit. The Bible said that they journeyed on a command of the Lord. They journeyed on a command of the Lord. I don't know if we readers in our generation, are we doing all things which we do in church by the command of the Lord or by our command? We Christians, are we doing everything which we do or by the command of the Lord or on our command? Do we live the life the way we live it on a command of the Lord, or we depend on the way how we feel? Ask yourself that. They did according to the command of the Lord. They moved according to the command of the Lord. Are you moving according to the command of the Lord? Are you moving according to the Spirit of God? Let me ask you, do you think that it's the Holy Spirit who does not allow you to have time to read your Bible? Do you think he's the one? Maybe he's the one. So you can spend a day, 2 days, week, when you don't read your Bible. Do you think that is the Holy Spirit? That's the command of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we don't have time to study our Bible, to read our Bible, who's commanding us? If you spend a week without reading the Bible, who's commanding you? Because I tell you, the Holy Spirit has to give you faith. Have to share the word through the word of God. And you cannot live without this physical food. Because when you don't eat, then you are going to become weak. Then you cannot do what you are supposed to do. Then even our spiritual life, it's fed on the word of God. Now, the more you get time and give your spirit the word of God, the more your spirit becomes stronger. When you don't give it the word of God, it becomes weak. I don't think that your food which you eat, it assists your spiritual life. No way. It does not assist your spirit. But what assists your spirit is the word of God. Now the Holy Spirit, because he knows that you have to be fed, that lead you and get time of reading the Bible. Now if you cannot read it, then there's somebody who's leading you who does not allow you to read the Bible. I don't believe that it's the Spirit of God who does not allow you to come and fellowship. Do you think that is the one? Now, if you don't fellowship now, who is leading you? Because the Spirit of God will bring you into a fellowship. He will bring you so that you can come and fellowship. But if you can stay at home, and you watch your television, you watch your programs, when other people, they are fellowshipping, hearing the word of God, praying for their neighbors, you are doing other things. I don't believe that is the Holy Spirit who tells you that don't go and fellowship. Is that clear? The Spirit of God, yeah? I want you to ask yourself, I don't believe that it's the Spirit of the living God who tells you that you have to hate everybody. You hate everyone, you hate everybody. Who hurted you? You don't want to forgive. I don't believe that that's the Spirit of the living God. I remember in 2002, there's a certain lady who came in our church. This lady, she had a good job. And where she was working, they had given her a house to stay, built a car. She was living a better life. And he was well paid. Now, he used to support even her mom, her mother. But her mother, she was a witch. Now, instead of witching her daughter, she could come into her house with those witches, witchcraft. Then he put them into the bedrooms everywhere. Then the daughter, when the man goes back, he goes back in the village, the daughter finds all those things. Then she gathers them together and calls her mother, why do you bring these things in my house? Me, I don't need them. Then the mom went on doing that. Then one day the girl starts feeling sick. She could spend a week without working. She comes and work 1 week, the second week she's down. She can come and work 1 week, 2 weeks she's down. The company where she was working, they did everything to treat her. They took her in hospitals. They did everything. She went even, they flew her up to Nairobi, that is Kenya, so they can be treated well. But nothing could change. Then they told her that we love you. You have been a good worker, but we cannot go on losing our customers because of you. Then they had to put another person into his position. Now, because he had lost the job, they had to just look for another house to stay. Then she transferred all other things, house things, into another house. Now again, somebody took over her job. But she went on sewing day by day, week by week. Then one day he met somebody who was born again, one of his friends, led her into a church, and he gave her life to Christ. When he gave her life to Christ, that disease went home. Now, when he went home, in a church there was a prophet. The prophet told her that your mother, she is the cause of everything. She wished you. But what you have to do if you want God to raise you, forgive her. Then the girl couldn't believe that her mother is the one who did that. He said, no, I don't believe. My mother, Mary, your mother, I'm the one who has been taken care of. I don't believe they can do that. Then the prophet told her that that's what you have to do. If you don't believe it, it's up to you, but you have to believe it and forgive your mom if you want God to release you. Then he went on to do that question for some nonsense. Then he met another prophet. That prophet told her that your mom wished you, but if you want God to release you, forgive her. That's when he started believing that really her mom did that. Because even in her dream, he used to dream her. But forgiving her, it was very difficult. He told the prophet that I cannot forgive her. She is my mom. I was supporting them, taking care of them. And he decided to whip me so that I can lose my job and my life. I cannot forgive her. Then she went on in two diseases. One month is on she's admitted. 2 months, the second week is out. She goes back in hospital. Then one day she met somebody who knew me. Then they brought her into the church. She told me all the problems, how he lost the job, things with this time. Then we entered into the word of God that encouraged her. But as we were praying, the Lord told, spoke to me that her mother wished her, but just to forgive her mother if she wants to be released. Then I told her, sister, the woman that first waited, the Lord has told me something. Your mother wished you, but if you want God to release you, you have to forgive her. Then the woman looked at my face and told me that if she was your mother, can you forgive her? Then I don't know. I have, because that's what God tells me. Also, if you want your life, you have to forgive her. If you don't forgive her, then the woman told me that I'm not going to forgive her. Then I told her, if you're not going to forgive her, I have done nothing with you. No, pray for me. I said, why should I pray for you? Because I don't want to waste my time. Because if you want to be released, you need to forgive. My prayers cannot leave you when you have not done what God says you to do. I don't pray for you. He told me, no, other pastors, they have been praying for me. I told them, those other pastors. And because they have been praying for you, that's why, and you have not done what God says you to do, that's why you are not free. Therefore, I don't waste my time to pray with you. Because you have refused to do what you are supposed to do. She grabbed the handbag and she went away. Then I had other people went on praying for other people, talking to other people. After 30 minutes, she came back. She came back to me. Told me that, Pastor, I want you to be serious. I know that I'm serious. If really you are your mother, she has decided to whip you and torment you, can you really forgive her? Then I told her, as long as God tells me to forgive, I have to forgive her. Right. And even God knows that I'm able to forgive that person. That's why. He cannot tell me to do something which I cannot. Therefore, if you want your life, if you want God to deliver you, to set you free, forgive. She told me, Pastor, I'll never come back here. I said, okay. She went with her friend. After 1 hour, she came back with his cry. Pastor, forgive me. I'm back. I feel I don't want to forgive her. But God is telling me to do that. You are the third person telling me to forgive her. Now, pray with me so that God can give me a grace to forgive her. Then I ask her that, are you willing? Really, to forgive her. She told me, yes, Pastor.
Then I led her into prayer of forgiveness.
We went on praying with her, praying with her, praying with her, confessing, confessing, confessing. As we were confessing, demons started coming out of her. She started getting her deliverance, getting her deliverance. She was delivered totally.
After the lady being delivered, after 1 week, I met her. She told me the pastor, let me tell you, I have been in Christianity for 6 years. But the day when I met you, and I forgive my mom, that was the day of my salvation.
Yeah.
I feel peace. I feel joy. I can sleep well. I'm free. I'm no pain. I'm really delivered. And she was so happy. Then after 1 month, I met her. She has got even another job. Then I told her, now, you forgive your mom. She said, yeah. I told her that you feel that you love her. I do. Then I told her, buy a few things. I know maybe you don't have enough money, but buy a few things. Get some of your friends who are born again. Go and give to your mom. She said, ah, how can I go there? She will kill me. I told her that she cannot kill you. If really you say that you have forgiven her, buy things which you used to buy, take it to her. Go and visit her. Because she had to listen to what I'm saying. She got together a day, she bought some things, she went with some two sisters who are born again. She went to go and visit her mom. When her mom saw her, she ran away. She couldn't believe that this is her daughter, the one whom he wanted to reach or to kill. The girl waited from the time when they arrived there up to night when the mom has not appeared. She was scared. Then from that day, the girl totally sister. No, actually, it wasn't the Spirit of God telling him that he shouldn't forgive. It was the Spirit of God leading him to forgive. Now, any spirit which does not allow you to forgive, that's an ungodly spirit. Any spirit which does not allow you to do what God tells you to do, that's not the Spirit of God. Now, I want to ask you, anything which you do which is ungodly, do you think that the Spirit of God is leading you to do that? If not, then you have to cut off that spirit. You need to cut it off. We need to cut it from our life, from our families, from our children, so that we can allow the Spirit of God to come back and we do all things according to God's command. These children of Israel, they were led by the crowd because they didn't know the way to go. We don't know the ways of God. You don't know the ways of God. The fact is, you have never seen even God. But the Spirit of the living God, He knows God, He knows the ways of God, He knows the minds of God, He knows the plans of God. Now when you allow Him to take over, He will guide you in the ways of God, He will guide you in the plans of God, He will guide you in everything which God wants you. If we leave Him to take over our services, the church will never be born. I have seen you all here. This morning, some of you have never gone back home. I don't believe that it's because of Him that's why you are here. I don't believe. I don't think that this is your, the place where you feel comfort. Because it's a beautiful place than your home, that's why you are here. You have beautiful homes, no? No, sir. You have your bed, this way you can go and lie down, but now you are seated this morning. Not because of His place, it's because of God, because of His presence. Now, where there's the presence of God, people they will never say that the church is boring. It's boring because the one who is supposed to have to take the house of people, He is not in our midst.
We have our system. We have our way of doing things. We don't handle them the way God wants to handle them. We handle them according to what we feel. We lead people according to what we see. This is my time to let the Spirit of God flow in your life, in our ministry, in everything. This is my time to allow the Spirit of God to take over. Some ministers are dead, not because they are supposed to die, it's because the giver of life is out of their building. Our spiritual life, some people is dead, they are dead, not because they are supposed to die, it's because the giver of life, he is not in their life. When you read in 1 Corinthians,
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord? Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Thus then it says, that God has revealed them unto us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deeper things of God. My God, I can't come here. Now, I believe that God knows him, that he knows himself. Is that clear? He knows you, that you know yourself. He has a better plan for you than you do. He knows your future. He understands the life he wants you to live in. Now, because God has his plan, he has a plan told him, he knows the life which he wants him to live. He knows everything about him. Now, what God wants to fulfill his plan within his life, he himself won't come up to come and do that. What he does, he hands over the plan unto the Spirit of God. Now, when he hands over the Spirit of God, the plan into the hands of the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit of God comes within him. And starts fulfilling the plans of God within him. Is that clear? Start turning his life according to what God wants within him. That's what the Bible says, that he has revealed all things unto us by his Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that revealing the things of God to him. But when this guy does not have any relationship with the Holy Spirit, beauty is something that don't be it. Thank you. Now, I just want to ask, if he does not have any relationship with the Holy Spirit, if he has not given his life to the Holy Spirit, do you think that the Holy Spirit will be able to fulfill the plans of God within him? Do you think? He cannot, because there's no relationship. He has not opened up his life to the Spirit of God. Now, God has a plan for all ministries. He has a plan for all preachers, Christians, everybody. sends a plan for all of us here. But he cannot come down and steal people's plans. He hands over the whole God's plans into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit comes, you are start revealing what God wants you to know. He starts revealing the plans of God towards you. He starts communicating with you in order to fulfill those plans. Now when you don't have the connection, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you miss the plans of God. Now when you miss the plan of God, then you start figuring it out. You start doing your own thing to see how you can sustain out. You start figuring out your own Christianity. You start doing... Are you getting me? That's what is going on within ministry. Pastors, leaders are figuring out. They're struggling on their own. In Uganda, when you have to build a house, you have to buy a land. After buying the land, you have to make up a plan. Then you take it into council, town council. Then the town council, they confirm it. After confirming it, you have to look for an engineer. Give him that plan. Then he will go and put that plan on the ground. Now that's what God does. After they made all the plans, the Holy Spirit is a good engineer. Then he hands over the plan into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit comes down and starts putting everything in order, the things of God, the plan of God within our life, within the ministry, within our family, within everything. But he can do that because you have the fellowship with him. He can do that because you have opened up your life to him. He can do that because you have permitted him to do what he wants, what he's supposed to do. Are you getting me? The Holy Spirit cannot, force himself on you. He requests for a permission. I remember today, he's at the door somebody knocking. Can you allow me in?
Yes.
Can you give me permission to come in?
Yes.
He's knocking on your heart. Can you give me your life?
Yes.
Can you let me do what I want to do within you?
Yes.
Can you allow me to fulfill the plans of God within you? He's knocking at your door. He does not just come in and kick the door and enter. He asks you for permission.
Right.
Now it's up to you to say, oh God, Spirit of God, take over. When you say that, then he will take over. Now after taking over, he will fulfill this part, this love, that God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the deeper things. The deeper things of God which you don't know. The deeper things which God wants to reveal to you. There's deeper things which God wants to reveal to your life. There's a deeper things which God wants to reveal to your family, to your ministry, to your future. But when you don't allow him to do that, he will never come in to do what? Verse 11 says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? I cannot tell what is inside him. And he cannot tell what is inside me. But my spirit knows. Now, nobody can tell the things of God except his spirit. Now, when you want to know the things of God, I give you just a simple advice. Allow the spirit of God to take over. When you allow him to take over, he will start revealing the things of God unto you. Nobody knows the ways of God, or he knows the ways of God. He starts revealing the ways of God unto you. No one knows how God wants him to be. The Spirit of God knows well. He will start revealing and working on your life so that you can become what God wants you to become. Why these days we don't see people changing in the churches, because you have not allowed the Spirit of God who can change our lives. People, they come in the church, and they go away how they came in. They come in the church. When they are in the church, they are so holy. When in the church, they are so good. When they go back, you cannot tell what they are. Because somebody who can transform their life is out over their life. They have not permitted him. Now, God is requesting us to call upon the Spirit of God. Let him be in control of our life. Let him be in charge of the church. Because he's the one who knows what God wants to do within his body. There's a great work which God is doing within his body. But on our own, we cannot do that unless the Spirit of God is in it. We cannot experience that until we allow the Spirit of God to come and flow within us. Each one of you here, it's high time to surrender. Surrender to the Spirit of God. Father, thank you for his life. Flow within him, my God. Spirit of God, take over each part of his life. Take over his part of his life. Because on his own, he cannot make it. On his own, my God, he cannot become what he wants him to become. On his own, he cannot become a true Christian. But by your Spirit, he can become Lord. Therefore, committing into your hands in the name of Jesus, have your way in his life, my God. Reveal yourself unto him, my God. Lead him, my God, Lord. And lead them, my God. Lead them, Lord. This is Jesus.